Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, June the 24th, 2012.
Father, what a joy, what a privilege it is for us to come together to worship you, to be reminded of the gospel through the experience of the Lord's Supper tonight, the bread, the wine, the juice, and the reminder of what you've done for us, an opportunity for us to search our hearts, for us together as a body to rehearse, to remember, to participate in this experience. Lord, with the testimonies tonight, the singing, perhaps the opening of your word, Lord, in all of it, would you glorify your name? God, would you give us a holy anticipation for what you want to do tonight? And we look to you, and we pray that you would speak to and minister to your people tonight in a special way. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks, Kelly. Well, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and let's sing together the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and My Hope is in the Lord, and we'll close this segment with Above All.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and for contempt of all my pride. See from his head,
and my key freely given. So often something happens in the service and my mind is just racing and I'm trying to figure it out. And did you catch that statement? A calf at a new gate? I'm trying to figure that one out.
You're trying to figure out what
a vine? Yeah. Whoa.
Let's go there.
Calf at a new gate. I'm going to have to think about that. Uncle Bill, you have cows. Is there some special theological sequence to that? Okay. I don't know. I'm just going to... Too much rhubarb. No, I think it's a rhubarb deficiency myself. By the way, did I tell you at the 4th of July thing, if you have a hankering to bring... I know we're not bringing special, you know, special sorts of things, desserts and things, but if you have a hankering, I can give you the top three list. Rhubarb pie sets on that list, and also... Mince meat pie and banana pudding, all three of those. Those are all big winners. Every time you don't know what to prepare, those are things, you know, we have really regressed here. I've regressed. Couple things I want to mention. The kids ought to just be to Lake Ann now, so we keep praying for them and the week that they're going to have, that this is all going to go well. And also, you pray for Belinda Ryan and the chemo that she will start to have on the angiosarcoma, and I think that this is, you know, they're just going to have to get more information before they, so that they understand all that what this means and the assessment and everything they have. So we keep praying about these details that the Lord will strengthen them through these things. So we thank the Lord for an opportunity to give this evening. Gracious Father, for this offering we thank you, and I pray that you will indeed use it to your honor and glory. I think of Belinda, Father, and the needs that she has at this time. And Father, only you can do the work of healing in our bodies, and so we pray that you will do that work, that you'll continue to extend her ministry, Father, to not just here in the midst of the church, Father, but with her grandchildren and the opportunities you continue to give her here in the city. Thank you for all of your love and your care for us. And for our kids that are going to camp, Father, this will be a good week for them. And the whole crowd that's in China, Father, that you'll watch over them and that this will be a good and encouraging experience and that they'll really be helpful to the Glaubfelters. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Lisa. I was kind of thinking through the words of that song, "Oh Happy Day That Fixed My Choice on Thee, My Savior and My God." And I think when I normally sing that song, I just sing it and it's kind of in an upbeat tempo, "Oh Happy Day, Oh Happy Day." And yet there was something about that that just was contemplative to me, and I appreciate that. Oh Happy Day. I taught you a chord. In fact, Carmen asked me tonight, he says, "Is this a new chorus?" But it's not really. We just haven't sung it in a while. But as I was preparing for the Lord's table and trying to focus our attention on that tonight as we sing, I love the lyrics to this song. "Love has brought me here again, kneeling at your cross, my friend. Search my heart that you might be the king of all of me." I hope these lyrics speak to you as they did to me this week. The king of all of me.
"Love has brought me here again, kneeling at your cross, my friend. Search my heart that you might be the king of all sufficiency, the king of all."
Contrary to what your bulletin says, you can stand here next to me. It's okay. Contrary to what your bulletin says, we are not Steve and Barbara McGraw. Steve and Barbara are already on their way up to Nashville. They're spending the night in Nashville. She has an appointment with some doctors at Vanderbilt tomorrow, and they moved their appointment up. So Friday night, I got a phone call from Steve saying, we really want to share our testimonies, but we can't be there Sunday night. So Amy, across the room, as I'm talking to Fred, said, just tell Fred we can do it if they can't find anybody else. To which Fred said, okay, you guys go ahead and do it. So here we are. And I can't remember. I think I've shared my testimony here before, but I can't remember. I want to take a moment, if we can. Let's pray for Steve and Barbara. And also, I'm thinking about the China trip, and they've been on my mind. So let's lift those folks up real quick. Lord, thank you for the way that you bring different people to this local body and to be a part of it. The way that you've gifted them and burdened them and prepared them. We thank you for Steve and Barbara and what they've come to mean to some of us already. God, I pray that they can get the answers tomorrow morning that they need to get. I pray that you would be everything to them that they need tonight, tomorrow. Pray that you give them safety on the way back. And Lord, that you would just make your presence and your comfort and your wisdom and your assurance known to them. Lord, for the team that is from Grace that's in China right now, we lift them up to you. For Mark Turner as he leads that group and the different ones that are there. And as they're preparing, they're moving into their second week. Lord, we pray that just physically that you'd give them health. We pray that you'd give them the rest that they need. Lord, that you would give them all servant hearts and a joy in serving you, in making much of you in that environment. And Lord, I pray that you would do a work in the hearts of those that have gone on this team as well, that they would come back changed as a result of encountering you and what you're doing there. And Lord, that would spill over, that this would not be a trip or an experience that would just be a short-term high and then forgotten, but that life change and lifelong change would happen through them and in them. Lord, as Amy and I share what you've put on our hearts, we just want you to be honored. We want to be more concerned that people are amazed at you than that people like us. So would you be our strength? Would you guide us? And we pray you glorify your name, and it's in that name we pray. Amen. Like I say, I can't remember if I've shared my story here before, so if you've heard this before, act like you haven't. I just looked down at the notes that I wrote to myself this afternoon, and I couldn't read the first line already. So that's not a good start. I should have been a doctor because I can't read my own writing. Psalm 16:11. The psalmist says, "You will make known to me the path of life." Speaking to God, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." My life gives evidence to the fact that we're all pleasure seekers. Every one of us, every person you've ever met, relative, family, friend, coworker, everyone is a pleasure seeker. Everyone is created with this inner desire to look for fullness of joy and pleasure that lasts forevermore. And you don't have to be around people very long or coworkers very long to find out where it is that they're seeking that fullness of joy. Early on, I was raised here in Chattanooga, born and raised in Chattanooga. My daddy was in the fire department for 40 years, so Jonathan Diltz and I have some little conversations going on there, and it was cool to go to his graduation when he came through the academy. Mom and dad met, raised here in Chattanooga. I had an older brother who was mentally handicapped, some very severe needs there. I graduated from Tyner High School right over the hill, so like I say, I'm a local boy. Early on, if you look for where I was looking for fullness of joy and pleasure that lasts forevermore, I looked for it in friendships. I looked for it in achievements of different kinds. But most of all, I looked for it in the approval of other people. Very, very insecure person. And so I would find people that I would attach significance to, and what I thought they were thinking about me is where I found my identity, which is a really hard place to be. In the beginning of college at UTC, I started looking for fullness of joy in religion. My best friend throughout high school, we'd known each other since first grade, throughout high school and into my first year of college was Mormon. And so actually the first communion, quote-unquote communion, that I ever took was in a Mormon church here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the old Latter-day Saints church that's across from Brainerd High School that now I think is a Salvation Army or something like that. I had no idea what was going on. It was bread and water, and I just took it so I wouldn't look weird. My mom had told me, "You stay away from those Mormons." A lady that was like a second mom to me was like, "You stay away from those." I was 18 years old, and if you tell me to stay away from something, what am I going to do? I'm going to go after it. That same day, we were talking in Sunday school class this morning about random events that seem meaningless or seem small, but they're huge. I went to the Red Food Store. What was the Red? I miss Red Food Store. Over here at Lee Highway and Shallowford Road to get a check cashed. And I ran into a friend of mine who worked there. She said, "Hey, I'm getting off work here in just a little while. Do you want to go to church with me tonight?" And I thought, well, the Mormon church this morning, and I'll go to this church tonight, and that should get a lot of points with God. God will be very impressed with that. And that church was Woodland Park Baptist Church, where eventually I served on staff there. They sent me out as a missionary for a number of years. But it was at Woodland Park where I first began to hear, as I heard Wayne Barber preach, and I'd never heard the word taught like that before, that I started realizing my need for a Savior and that I couldn't save myself. And so when I was 18 years old, February of 1985, I think it was, I remember putting my trust in what Christ had done for me. I didn't know a lot, but I knew enough to know that I was a sinner, Christ was a Savior, and I needed Him. It was quite an adventure from then on, and I'll kind of summarize some of this. I taught in public school for 1 year and then retired and swore I would never, ever teach again. I ended up going with an organization called New Tribes Mission that some of you know about. I taught in a school for American missionaries' kids located in the heart of the jungles of Venezuela. I taught there for 4 years. I got some further training with New Tribes Mission and taught in their Bible college up in Jackson, Michigan, the jungles of Michigan, if you will. Jackson, Michigan for 6.5 years. The Lord brought me back to Chattanooga to work with college students on a secular campus. I got weary of the Bible school bubble and some of the theoretical things that we discussed there, and I wondered if we're really touching where people are lying awake at night. Are they really, you know, are these the things that people are really lying awake thinking about? And so I worked with college students at a church here in the area for 7 years. Right before Amy and I got married, they had to do some budget cuts, and I was one of the cuts. So by God's orchestration, He has brought me here. I've had more fun in the last 3 weeks on church staff than I think I ever did before. I'm meeting with the deacons now and their wives, and we're going to do some leadership training and leadership development. I sit in on staff meetings, and there's times where I almost get choked up because this is not a perfect church because there aren't any. But I've experienced a love and a sense of team here that I don't know that I've ever experienced anywhere where I've served before, to the point that at times I've been on the verge of tears. And I told Amy, don't tell people I'm going to work. Tell them I'm going to the office. This is not work. I can't believe that I get to do what I'm getting to do. So focusing on some different things right now. But again, let me reiterate this, and then I'm going to let my beautiful wife share. Psalm 16:11, in your presence, God, is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God has taught me that marriage will not fill me up. God has shown me repeatedly that I don't find fullness of joy in ministry. I'm learning that I will not find fullness of joy and pleasure that lasts forevermore in parenthood. As much as I love my wife and I love my son, my joy is not there. My identity is not there. Those things don't have the capacity to satisfy. Only Christ satisfies. And when I'm drinking from the well of who he is, that will flow into ministry and in my relationship with my wife and my relationship with my son and with you guys. And so that's my passion. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:5, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And that's my heartbeat. That's what I'm excited about being here for, is your servants for Jesus' sake and that he might be seen. Come on, baby.
We did not talk beforehand about how we were going to go about this sharing testimony, but I also have a verse that I wanted to start with. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very common, but when I was thinking about my testimony and sharing it, this is the verse that came to mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I was born here in Chattanooga, to a family that many of you know well. My parents were attending a church at the time, Members. At some point, I was called Grace Baptist, and it changed its name to Heritage Baptist. So I'm not sure what, when I was born, if it was already Heritage Baptist, but that's what I knew it as. Dr. Martin was the pastor of that church, and that was our sending church. In 1985, I was 5 years old. Interesting fact there in just a second. In 1985, I was 5 years old, and my family went to Germany for the first time to be missionaries. Kelly just said in 1985, he got saved as a 19-year-old. 18. In 1985, I got saved as a 5-year-old. So that gives you a little bit of insight
Don't do the math. Just...
So 1985, December, we moved to Germany for the first time. Being a missionary kid, I'm sure, has defined a lot of who I am today. My dad was in church planting, along with another missionary in Munich, Germany, a city of 1.3 million. And when we started the church, we were meeting in a living room. I remember when it officially became a church, when we all signed our names. And it officially became a church. We rented a store for a while that we met in, and then we were able to actually rent our official own space. And it was exciting as a kid and growing up into teenagerhood to see how God grows a church and how he starts it and how he develops it and how he brings the right people. And that church is now being led by a German pastor, which is the goal of all missionaries. Anyways, it's exciting. I grew up in a public school in Germany, which had challenges all of its own. I was the only believer in my entire class, probably only a handful in the whole school, if any, besides me and my siblings. So by the time I hit about 8th, 9th grade, there were drugs, immorality, alcohol, all of that was going on, and it is really only by God's grace, I believe, that I was able to stay out of all that. I know the Lord was working in my life. As a child and as a teenager, I remember those struggles. I remember the desire to fit in. I was the only one who was different. They all knew it. And I just remember wrestling with that. But coming back to, no, this is what I believe. This is who I am. And I cannot go down that road. And by the grace of God, I'm so thankful. When we came back to the States, we'd go to Germany for 3 years, back to the States for 1 year, or Germany 4, and then back to the States. I attended Grace Academy here at the school. I was actually here in kindergarten the very first year it opened. And that was a nice refreshment to go to a Christian school for a year. My biggest struggle as a teenager was assurance of salvation, probably 12, 13, 14, around that age. And this is where I go back to that verse that I read to you at the beginning. After years of battling with this, I finally went to my dad. I should have gone there first. And he said to me, "Amy, it sounds to me like you're listening to your fears rather than just trusting the Lord." And I realized that's what I was doing. For me, it was trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your fears. I was so afraid of the consequences of not believing in Christ, of hell, that I was so afraid. What if I said something wrong? What if I did something wrong? But, you know, looking back, I know the Holy Spirit was working. I saw him working, but I was just wrestling with a lot of fears, and it went back to trusting God. For college, my parents told me, wherever your brother goes, that's where you go, because they were overseas. And so I ended up at Pensacola Christian College and got my bachelor degree in elementary education. I had taught Sunday school in Germany, probably from the time I was 13, and I had always enjoyed that and always wanted to be a teacher. I had real difficulty adjusting, being a missionary kid. I wasn't 100% German, but I also wasn't 100% American, and I really didn't know where I fit in or who I was, and going to college, I think, magnified that for me. But the Lord brought me through that, and I still don't know who I am, but he was very good to me and very gracious, and it got better, and I enjoyed it. I did. I got a job offer from a school in Charlotte, North Carolina after I graduated, and I knew that's where God had me. And they flew me out, and they put me up in a wonderful hotel, and they offered me a job. And I flew back to Pensacola, and God did not give me peace. It was probably March or April. I was graduating in May, and that was where I thought I was going to go. All the pre-interviews and actually flying out there and interviewing, but God didn't give me peace. And I go back to that verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. My understanding said, I'm graduating in just a little bit. They're offering me a good salary compared to some of the other Christian schools that I had talked to at that time. And it was a big Christian school, thriving ministry, but I couldn't say yes. And I remember calling them, having talked to my parents and cried. I remember calling that school and saying, I love what you do, but I can't accept the job. That's just not what the Lord has for me. And I flew to school in Memphis. They flew me out. They put me up in all that again and offered me a job. But that's not where the Lord wanted me. He wanted me here. And I ended up teaching here at Grace Academy right out of college, second grade. I taught second grade for 2 years, and I have been in fifth ever since. And I love it, being able to talk to students every day about the Lord. I get to teach Bible and science, and Bible's my passion. It's an incredible, incredible opportunity. You know, I went to public school all my life, and that's where the Lord had me, at least there in Germany. But being able to stand in front of students and open the Word and meet their needs with God's Word is just such an incredible blessing to be able to do that, to be a part of discipleship. I do feel like being able to do this as part of that Great Commission, go and make disciples. What an incredible opportunity in a Christian school to make disciples. When I was 25, I graduated with my master's in school leadership at UTC, and that was an incredible experience as well. As far as Kelly and me, we had a common mutual friend who was a parent of one of my students who came through to pick up her daughter one day at school and said to me, "Amy, I have a question for you." I said, "What?" And she said, "What do you think about older men?" And I said, "What do you mean, older men?" And she told me his age, and I said, "No way. Absolutely not." And I thought that was the end of it. It came up again by someone totally unrelated. "Hey, Amy, I've been praying about you and this one guy from my church. He's an incredible man. You guys would get along great. What have you heard about him?" And I said, "Who have you been talking to?" She said, "No one." She said, "But I'd like to set you guys up." And I said, "No way."
And I had no idea these conversations were going on at all.
This happened repeatedly. Things just kept happening. And I felt after 3 months like I couldn't say no anymore as much as I wanted to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Don't lean on your own understanding. My understanding said, this guy's almost 15 years older than you. That's crazy. I don't want to do that. So I finally said, "You know what, Lord? I feel like," I told Rebecca Phillips one day, I said, "I feel like if I keep saying no, I'm disobeying God. So I'm going to meet him, and then it's going to be done." And then I met him, And I was so impressed with this incredible godly man. And he did not call me back for over a year.
Well,
that year was so good for me. After I met him, as much as I did not want to feel that way, I was very impressed, and nothing happened. And that was such a good time for me. It was so good for me to go back to, okay, who am I, and where do I find my identity, and where do I find my joy? And during that time, the Lord just brought to my mind again, Amy, your contentment is not to be found in marriage anyways. Your identity is not to be found in marriage. Your joy is not to be found in marriage. The Lord, as a believer, my calling ultimately is to serve him and to glorify him. So if that means singleness, then that's what it means. And if it means marriage, then that's what it means. But I can fulfill my calling whether I'm married or not. And I can fulfill my purpose serving God whether I'm married or not. And I can find my joy in Christ whether I'm married or not. And that was such a good year for me to come back to all those truths. Now, we did end up getting back together a year later. And a year and a half after that, we were married. Now, like he said, 2 weeks before we got married, he was laid off. I thought, great, now we're going to go to his church, and I'm going to be able to come alongside of him as college pastor and work with college girls, which was exciting to me, and I thought, this is where my life is headed. And he got laid off. And once again, trust in the Lord, and don't lean on your own understanding. So here we are, back at Grace. And we're excited to see what God's going to do. He blessed us with the son, and I just thank him so much. I just feel so incredibly blessed. Even though it didn't go the way I always thought it would go, God's plans are so much better. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Wow. Was that good? That was a terrific testimony and a terrific encouragement and everything. And I always, when I listen to these testimonies, I always find things that kind of help me in terms of the way I make decisions. And you begin to kind of see a perspective that God wants us to have in these things. So that was terrific. Thanks for sharing that with us. So this is the Lord's table. As the Lord's table, this is not the table of Grace Baptist Church. So if you're here, and whether you're a member of this church or not, it's really immaterial. It's whether you know the Lord. If you know the Lord, you're in fellowship with him, we encourage you to participate with us in this, his table. And, of course, you know exactly how the text of Scripture goes. That the night in which Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says that he gave thanks. So, Kurt, would you give thanks for the bread, please?
Father, I'm so thankful for the wonderful testimony that Kelly and Amy just gave to us of how you have worked in their lives and brought them up to this point in their lives. So thank you for bringing them to us in this ministry. Thank you especially, Lord, now for the bread that I was served that Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for your broken body that was broken for us, Lord. We thank you so much for salvation that you've given to us so freely. And we thank you for this time we had to examine our hearts tonight.
received from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Bible says, after the same manner also, he took the cup. Dan Borman, will you thank the Lord for the cup, please?
Father, we thank you for this part of the service. We remember the blood that you shed for us. I'm counting that day so that we can all have eternal life with this blood of the sacrifice. Thank you for this time. Also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup's the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. What a glorious thing we have opportunity to do, to proclaim his death till he comes. I guess churches have traditions, and one of our traditions is we use this time of thankfulness for what the Lord's done for us as an opportunity to collect a benevolence offering, an offering that goes to help people here and people that come in off the street, different kinds of opportunities. We have a lot of terrific opportunities. We see these benevolence calls as the hand of the Lord. And so that's what this offering goes for. So, Father, for this offering, we thank you. And I pray, Father, for the people you're going to send our way this next several weeks, next month, that we'll be open and receptive, Father, and that you'll help us really to minister to people. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be humming that one for the next two or three days. Crucified, laid behind the stone. What a terrific, terrific sentiment to think about what the Lord's done for us. So let's think about this. We're, of course, praying about the ministry we're going to have on 4th of July. And we're thinking about Steve and Barbara McGraw in Vanderbilt this week, already up there. So we pray for them, that what the Lord's going to do for them. And then Jim and Blinda, Ryan, and starting chemotherapy and everything, chemo, that's going to be a rugged experience for them. So you pray particularly for them. And someone told me that Mallory has been going to the doctor. So what's the word on that?
They tested her white blood count and it went down to normal. She seems fine. They have no idea why her fever spiked and why she was lethargic.
Okay, that's a blessing of God. Mallory Houts has been having high white blood counts, and the Lord's kind of brought that back to normal and everything. This morning, I just made a casual comment that Elizabeth was expecting, and I don't know who did it, I know who did it, but. Apparently, people got on Facebook immediately, and so when I called her after church, she says to me, "Yeah, I understand you had a little speech about me in church today." And so I'm saying, "Honey, just a prayer request." But that's a tricky situation that she and Tommy are facing. So we pray particularly for them, that the Lord will strengthen them at this time, and that He'll give them the direction that He needs. Well, I'll tell you what. Thanks for coming. I mean, is this not a sweet service and an encouraging time? Things we're going to think about, we're going to pray about, and what God can do in our hearts and in our lives. So, Lord bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.